All right. Well, good to see you all. So glad that you join us today. Happy Mother's Day again. I just have a real quick exciting announcement. In about 2 weeks, May 23rd, which is a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, the team that you just saw up here on stage today, we're going to be doing a praise night, like a simple praise night here at the church. We'll send it out live. So we're excited about that. May 23rd, 6 o'clock. So if you want to join us for just a time of praise and worship and just lifting our lives to the Lord, we would love to have you. Share it with your friends. We'll put a note out on Facebook soon. But we just want to get that on your calendars, because I know your calendars are so packed right now. So, all right. So, this morning, my title is called Confident and Secure, Who We Are Because of Jesus. So I think today's message flows really nicely out of the faith series that we've been doing for the last couple months. Because if you did a study on the word faith, you're going to see two other words, believe and trust. Believe and trust work hand in hand with faith. So you'll see those words used interchangeably in the Bible. So we're going to talk a little bit about believing and trusting as we talk about being confident and secure. So it's my prayer that today you would end this service by believing Jesus a little bit more and by being a little bit more confident in who he's made you to be. Jesus paved the way for a new life. The fact that he is God and he walked as a human on this earth demonstrates to us that he truly understands us. He truly gets us. And we find that in Hebrews chapter 4, make sure I have my clicker on, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When I think of coming boldly before the throne of grace in confidence, I think about running to the throne of grace, that we don't have to shrink back from God. We can run to him just as we are. He receives us as is, and he understands wherever it is that we may find ourselves in our lives. He gets it. He understands you. I want you to just say to yourself, he gets me. He gets me, right? Jesus came, his purpose, he spoke two purposes. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and that was relationship with God, that full encounter that we could have with God. Jesus came to give that back to us. So he came to seek and save that which was lost, and he also came to set the captives free, to set those who were held in chains and bondage, to set them free. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So keep standing firm. What we want to say today, the point is that you were set free, that you don't have to be subject to a yoke of slavery. We're no longer slaves, as we just sang. And we're going to come back to this verse in a little bit and the explanation of this. But I'd like to take just 1 minute. If you have a pen and paper there, be great if you had a pen and paper that you could just write down, and I don't care if it's a crayon, grab your old receipt or whatever, write down three words that describe you. If I just said to you, tell me a description of you, tell me about yourself, tell me three words about you, what are the three words that come to your mind immediately? I want you to write those down. Kids, adults, everybody, write those down. Three words. Be honest. So now, in preparation for this message, I surprised my 7-year-old daughter, Bella, with this same question. We were just kind of standing in the kitchen one day, and I said, Bella, give me a description of you. Tell me what you think of when you think about yourself. She kind of looked at me funny, like, okay. And I said, just give me three words to describe, or give me a description of yourself. And she said, nice, confident. And I thought, wow, confident? She's 7. That's a pretty big word for a 7-year-old to just kind of come up with. So I pressed in a little bit more, and I said, okay, honey, when you look in the mirror, what do you think of yourself? When you look in the mirror, what do you think of yourself? The first word she said was, I'm cute. And then she said something else that was very remarkable that I'm not going to say until the end of the service. You're going to have to stick around. Nice, confident, cute. The description of a 7-year-old girl. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, I wish if someone asked me that question, that nice, confident, and cute would just roll off my tongue, right? But think about those words that you wrote down. What made you think of those words? Where did you get that description from? That may take a little time for you to think about, depending what word you wrote down, but we'll come back to that later. So I was surprised that Bella had come up with the word confident, and I thought, well, this is God at work, because my message was already titled Being Confident and Secure in Jesus. So I'm also thankful, but I'm not super surprised that she said nice, confident, and cute, because we speak life into her. Cliff and I speak life into her as much as we possibly can. Yes, we have moments, you know. But not just us, but the people around her tell her often that she's cute. So I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, Bella. She's probably watching right now. But think about if somebody told you day after day after day that you're cute, you'd start to believe it. So that is what Bella said. Her first word was cute. And again, I'm going to tell you what she said after that, which I thought was really cool. I'll tell you that in a little bit. Children often repeat what they've heard. Some of us have learned that the hard way. Children will repeat what you say, right? But also adults, we also repeat the things that have been said to us. There are times that we start to say what's been said to us, and then we start to believe those things about ourselves. Okay. So as I pondered Bella's simple, sweet answer, I thought to myself, at what point do we go from the seven-year-old, I am confident, I am nice, I am cute, to the questions of, I'm not enough, you know, I'm whatever, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm old. Many of you have thought that, right? Or maybe thought, well, you know, I stink at this, or I, whatever. At what point do we go from nice, confident, cute, to I'm not enough? And that's a question that I think has yet to be answered, but many of us have thought of ourselves, I'm not enough. And then there's the dreaded mirror, right? Did you ever notice that if there's a part of your physical body that you absolutely hate, that you will stare at that part, right? Let me tell you, staring at our noses or any other area of our bodies is not going to make them smaller, okay? So if we keep staring at it, it's not going to make it better. So what I would encourage you to do is, if there's a part of your physical body that you don't like, start thinking about the parts that are nice. Like if you don't like your nose, start looking at your pretty eyes. Focus on the things that are positive. And then tell yourself in the mirror, tell yourself, I am beautiful because God made me. Who does that? I'm beautiful because God made me. And we have to say those things until we believe them. Today isn't about the physical, though, but how we feel physically often reflects the condition of our hearts, okay? During this quarantine, you may have lost 20 pounds. Probably not, right? But if you lost 20 pounds and you're looking for it, someone else probably has it now, okay? Of course, we want to be physically healthy, but that starts with the heart. That starts with the heart. You know, I asked you today to wear something that makes you feel good. You know, I encourage the kids to wear like superhero costume or something, or even adults to do it. And I know my music ministry, they rock because they did it. But why did I ask that? Because when we dress for the kind of day that we want to have, we will have that kind of day. If we stay in our pajamas, nothing wrong with that. Many of you probably have PJs on. That's fine. Those are cozy. But then if we stay in those, we're probably going to have a lounge around the house kind of day. If we wear exercise clothes, we put that on, we're probably going to exercise. If we dress up to go outside and, you know, work in the garden, we're probably going to do that. If we get really spiffed up and nice and go out to the store with our masks on, because that's about the only place that we go right there, we're going to go, right? Kids, if you dress like a superhero, you're going to think you can conquer the world, right? You're going to be jumping off the couch and jumping on the bed. Don't do that. But that's what you're going to feel like you can do, okay? So when you dress for the kind of day that you want to have, that is probably the kind of day that you're going to have. You'll notice I'm not wearing pajamas on the stage. Although they may be comfortable, I am not confident in PJs in front of people. I'd be standing behind Jeff, hiding behind the drum kit. How we think and feel about ourselves will ultimately manifest through the things we say and do, okay? It's what we do day after day that will lead us to the kind of life that we will ultimately have. What we continue to do day in and day out is what is going to actually take us on the path to lead us to the life that we will have. Think about the things that you've been doing regularly and ask, are these things adding to my confidence and security, or are they taking away from my confidence? Will you be happy next week, next year, a decade from now with the decisions that you're making today? Those are great questions to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Confident, secure people take wise steps toward the future. When we step out in courage and faith, we'll step into a security of a preferred future. If we say, I want to go there, and we take a confident, bold step, we will begin to get there. Let's see. So here's an example. Bold confidence in action. Exactly a year ago, I was talking with Melissa Suve and Kristen Fritz, and I was telling them about some goals I had and some of the obstacles that I was facing. And, you know, we were just kind of discussing, you know, just life in general. And Kristen gave me some great advice. She said, do one thing every day that will take you to that goal. Just one thing every single day to take a step toward that goal. I thought that was great advice, so I started doing it. I made myself the next day get up and start doing one thing a day to get me toward that goal. And I will tell you, I'm about halfway, even a little bit farther, toward that goal. And if I hadn't done that one thing a day, I wouldn't be where I am in that goal. So we have to do that one thing a day. Are there still obstacles? Are there still hurdles? Is it still difficult? Absolutely. But a bold, confident step will set us into a place where we can reach that preferred, secure future. So when we take steps and conquer obstacles, it will increase our faith, and it will actually help us to take even leaps of courage. Like, oh, I took a step, and that worked. I took another step, and that worked. What if I jump? What if I jump in with both feet and go for it? So let's say a child learning to ride his bicycle. Some of you have probably been teaching your kids to ride bike right now, right? And the kid says, Mom, it's okay. You can let go of the bike, right? Or dad just says, I'm holding you, and then lets go and doesn't tell you. The kid doesn't even know, right? Till he falls. But why is it that mom lets go, dad lets go? Because they know that even if you fall, you're going to be all right. Brush off, get back up, get back on the bike, and that is how you learn. So the kid then, once he starts learning, wants to now do stunts on the bike, right? Dad's like, yeah. Mom's like having a heart attack, freaking out because now you're doing stunts. But it's because mom and dad had the wisdom to let go. That child is now secure and confident on the bike on his own. And that's so vital. We cannot hang on to the back of the bicycle for our child till they're 90. Right? We have to let go. And that's what God does with us. He's with us. He's there. He's there to pick us up when we fall, but he lets go and lets us go on our own. And then he helps us. And that's what strengthens us and makes us more confident and secure. So those of you, you know, I was thinking this morning, those of you that kind of have that mama bear, you know, God gave you the mama bear instinct because God can be a mama bear too, protecting his children. And fathers, God gave you the desire to provide and protect your child. And that was from God, because God has a desire to provide and protect. But he also wants us to learn and stretch our confidence and our security. So we have to remember that we are constantly learning, and learning requires failure. Think about it for a second. In order to learn, you have to fail. Okay? Now, you're learning your ABCs, whatever. But what's happening is our brain is now kind of letting go of what we did know and adding to it now, there's more to life than just toddling around. So it's kind of letting go of the old way of thinking, letting that kind of go fail, and then move forward into the future. Falling off the bike helps you learn how to fall well. You know, if you don't ever do something the wrong way, you won't ever know the right way. You won't ever be certain of it. Did you know that you can even learn to fall the right way? Cliff spent some time teaching his other probation officers when he worked for the county how to fall properly. You know, and that takes practice. It takes practice to fall well. And, you know, there's a book called Failing Forward. It's like you fail, but you kind of take a step forward. You move forward when you fail, and that's how you learn. So what keeps us from being confident and secure? And the answer is ourselves. We are it. We are the reason. If we are not confident, we are not secure. It's because we're doing something wrong. Because we decide and we hold the key to our confidence and security. And it's in Jesus Christ. Insecurity is an unrelenting beast if not tamed. I'm going to say that again. Insecurity is an unrelenting beast if it's not tamed. The area of your life that will grow is the area that you feed. So if you're feeding insecurity, then you are going to be insecure, and it's going to be a beast that's going to take over you, and it's going to eat you alive. You've all been around very insecure people. Maybe you are a person that feels insecure all the time and just says negative things about yourself all the time. My goal today is to help you look to Jesus and help you actually reverse that. We want to reverse what the enemy is trying to devour in your heart. You know, even pride is a mask for insecurity. We can act like we have it all together, but sometimes pride is just a mask because we're insecure. One of the problems is this little area called the brain. The brain wants to be in charge because it thinks it knows it all, right? Thinks it knows everything. And it wants to take over our heart, and it wants to take over our spirit, and it wants to take over our actions, and it wants to be in charge. Now, there's a lot of things the brain needs to be in charge of, but it is not your spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be in charge of your spirit. And yes, the brain can function to help, because we want to hide God's word in our hearts so we won't sin against God. And when we hide it in our hearts, it gets hidden in our brain, and our brain lines up with our spirit. We want our brain to line up with our spirit. But over time, most of us tend to store up things that are said about us. If not cleaned out once in a while, the brain becomes an attic filled with storage boxes for all the things that have ever been done or said to us. Do any of you have a dusty attic in your brain? Filled with boxes filled with the opinions of other people, things that have been said or done to you, that when you look at a person or you think of a person, you think of all the negative things, the bad things they've ever done or said. When you look back on your childhood, you think of all the negative things. Now, some of us have grown up in very difficult places, but God does have good that he can bring from that. Okay, so childhood memories, teen pressures, jobs, people, family, tragedy, circumstance. The insecurity that you are facing today is a direct result of a box that you have, something that you have stored in your mind and in your heart that is now dictating that insecurity. So we're going to talk about the box. Let me just go off here for a second. The box is really the opinions of other people. Now, we've all had these things said of us. Move this out a little bit. What's your box? Think about it. You can't. You won't. You shouldn't. You're not qualified. Big enough. Strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not fast. You're not rich. You're not educated. You're not enough. You're too old. You're too young. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too thin. You're too heavy. You're not pretty, talented. You're not cut out for that. You don't have what it takes. It's supposed to say takes. We also store the good things, right? The great accolades that people say. You're good at. You're talented. You're beautiful. You're so liked. You're so popular. You're rich. You are amazing. Dot, dot, dot. Tell me more, please. The problem with this box that is filled with human opinion is that it can become the foundation upon which we base our value and our worth. It can become the thing that we hold closely to us, right? Nice stuff is great, but we can't build a foundation on it. You know why? Because if we try to build who we are and value on the great things that have been said to or about us, we are going to have to continue to feed that monster of insecurity. We're going to continue to need accolades, and if we don't get the accolades, we're going to feel defeated and bad about ourselves. We cannot go to people or opinions or thoughts or even the encouragement of other people. Now, those things are good, but they can't be what we base life on. As people pleasers, and let me just say that even those who say, I don't care what people think. I think as you get older, you start to not really, quote, care, but you still do. If you look deep in your heart, you care. You want to be valued. You want to be worth something. You want people to accept you and love you. We desire approval. But what happens is we think this box defines us, and we get into it. Don't fall. Okay. Get ready to send this to America's Funniest Home Videos. Okay. We get into it, right? We get in there with everything. And soon, this box becomes what we believe about ourselves. It becomes our beliefs. Okay, and we're inside this box, becomes our beliefs, and we're confined to the opinion and the perception of humans rather than what God says about us. Are you living in a box in an attic filled with junk? Are you staying stuck in the attic, in that dusty old attic, in a box that's just filled with junk from the past, right? The word says it was for freedom that Christ came. So a box, this restricts movement a little bit, right? It kind of restricts you from being able to go anywhere. And the opinions of other people can actually control us and even paralyze us from moving forward, okay? A friend of mine was told in high school that she was not college material. They said, you're not college material. Well, guess what? She is now finishing up her doctorate. So she is going to be a doctor. And, you know, she could have let that get her down and say, I'm not college material. I guess I'm not going to go to college. Instead, she used that to propel her to defy what was said of her to do it anyway, because she knew in her heart she was able, and I believe she even knew in her heart that God was calling her to do that. So she loosed herself of those labels that we all want to carry, and she freed herself from the box. Okay, so now we're going to get back up. She freed herself of the box. Darlene Scheck, you may know who she is. She founded Hillsong Worship. She was told early on that she couldn't sing. Well, she ended up founding Hillsong Worship, which is huge now, and there's actually a few bands, right? She wrote Shout to the Lord, which was number one on the CCLI charts for I don't know how long, probably a decade practically. It was really high, and was actually sung by the finalists on American Idol several years ago. Shout to the Lord. She wrote that. She didn't keep those labels. She shook herself free of those labels, and she sang anyway. Oprah Winfrey was told that she wasn't television material. Who's laughing now, right? Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire. She wasn't television material, but she's made all of her money doing TV, right? Walt Disney was fired from his first job because he was told he was not creative and he had no good ideas. I mean, how funny is that? Walt Disney is a household name now, right? And pretty much any movie you watch, if you watch the credits at the end, Disney is in there. It's in everything, right? Stephen King, his first book was rejected by 30 publishers before being accepted. Talk about perseverance. Talk about perseverance. 30 rejections, and then it was accepted, number 31, right? Thomas Edison was told he was too stupid to learn anything. Hello? Thomas Edison. Being different makes you look at life and education and people in a unique way. It's okay to be different, right? Embrace who God made you to be. Shake free of the labels and get out of the box. When we encounter resistance, we can choose one of three things: to let it define us, confine us, or refine us. When the postman brings a box to your house, right? Here's a shipment, here's a package. If it doesn't have your name on it, what do? You reject it, right? You reject it. It's not mine. Rejected. We can do that with statements too. When somebody says something to us, we can either accept that or we can reject it. Say, no, that's not who I am. Am I going to let this define me? Will I believe it? Will I let it confine me, restrict my movement, and hinder my progress? Or will I let it refine me, burn away the junk, so I can walk in new freedom? Will I learn from it and become a better person because of it? Because of Jesus, we are able to be confident and secure, to shake free from the labels and believe what Jesus says about us, rather than placing our confidence in the flesh or on the opinions of others. I will admit that I've struggled nearly all my life in this area. I've been insecure and less than confident many times, but every time God used it to teach me. So I'll tell you a little embarrassing story about me. When I was in eighth grade, oh, the teen years. Great, great time to, you know, build your confidence. It's really tough, right, being a teen. You couldn't pay me to be a teenager again. But the show choir from our school was chosen to go to Disney World. See, there's that word again. For their Disney's Magic Music Days. And it was the first group from Lehigh to ever go to Disney World for this Disney Magic Music Day. So this was really exciting. And our director gave me two solos. He asked me to sing two, you know, special parts to the songs. The first one was really comfortable for me. It was in my range. I liked the song. I felt confident. The second one was not in my comfortable range. And it was a soprano solo, which was high, and I don't normally sing high. I could hit the notes, but I didn't feel confident at all. And I told him, no, I can't do it. Like, and he's like, no, no, stay after class and we'll go over it. So I stayed after class. Now, I will admit, I had a little bit of an attitude because I really didn't want to do it because I didn't want to mess it up. So I sang it for him, came out okay, and I said, I really don't feel confident. And he said, you'll be fine. So, famous last words, you'll be fine, right? You ever have somebody say, you'll be fine, and then something bad happens? This is where we're going. So we traveled to Disney, put on our flashy costumes, and went out on the stage, and how exciting this was, right? First song, I went up front, sing my solo, came out clear and confident. I was still nervous, but I made it through. The second solo, I was so nervous. I walked to the microphone, scared to death, like a convict to the noose. And when I opened my mouth to sing, nothing came out. Not even air. I couldn't sing. I couldn't breathe. I was mouthing the words. People thought the microphone went off. And I went with that because when in doubt, blame the sound guy. Right, Lloyd? My teacher knew what happened. I told myself I couldn't do it, so I couldn't. I told myself I didn't practice because I thought, I know I'm going to mess it up anyway. And I did. Right? Insecurity paralyzes us. Insecurity blames others. See, I told you I couldn't do it. Right? Even then, as frustrating and embarrassing as it was, I wanted to crawl under a rock somewhere. I knew that these things happen. I didn't give up. I didn't say, well, I quit singing. You know, I stink. I messed it up for everyone. I did mess it up for everyone, but it was eighth grade. No one cares. And if they still remember, they need to empty the box, right? So it's totally fine. But the question is, will this define, confine, or refine me? What have I learned? What's my take home from this? You know, I learned a lot from that moment. Then we toss the rest. Take what's helpful and toss the rest. Don't stay stuck in that moment of failure. Shake yourself free and move on. If I had stayed stuck in that, the next time I would have gone up to the microphone, no matter if I felt confident or not with the song, I probably would have frozen because that's what I trained my brain to do. Now, all these opinions, okay? We still need people to speak truth into our lives. It doesn't mean that, okay, I'm gonna, la, 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 I'm just gonna listen to what Jesus says. I'm not gonna listen to anybody else, la, la, la. I don't care about your opinion. The truth is not always pretty, right? One thing I am confident about is that I have blind spots. We all have blind spots, areas that we don't even realize that aren't good or aren't healthy for us. God speaks to us through others as well. He puts people in our circle, people around us that love us and want to come to us to help us to have, you know, a better life or to polish one another. You know, iron sharpens iron. Because here's a truth. Truly confident people recognize the value in the perspective of others and know that they cannot do life alone, right? Iron sharpens iron, so friends sharpen each other. You may hear a truth that you need to hear through a message, through your spouse, through your children. Children teach us so much. Through your parents, through your friends, right? Truly confident people recognize the value in other people and their perspective. True security is found in others, in leaning into others. I'm sorry. True security is found in leaning on others sometimes and into Jesus always. knowing the areas where we're weak and leaning into his strength and knowing where we are strong and knowing that he's stronger. Oftentimes, Jesus will use people to help us be free. Don't dismiss every statement, only the ones that don't line up with God's word. Sometimes God is already telling us something that's going on in our lives that we got to get straight. Then a close friend or, you know, somebody that you really admire and trust comes and says, hey, can I talk to you about this? Then it's confirming what God's already speaking to you. So when Jesus walked the earth as a human, he knew his purpose. He knew who he was, but that didn't make it easy. None of his friends or family understood him. Can you imagine being Jesus, like the Son of God? No one gets him. Nobody understands truly where he came from, even though he said it. Like, they believed, but they didn't really get it, right? So he went to the Father to be filled, not to people. When he did something great for the kingdom of God, he thanked God. That was how he was like, thank you, Lord. You know, he gave the glory to God. Could you imagine if Jesus had said, hey, John, did you see me back there? Did you see me feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Give me 5, right? Jesus didn't do that. He said, hey guys, did you catch that? I just raised a guy from the dead. Did you catch that? I just healed a blind guy. You know, he didn't look for the approval of the people that were around him. I find it interesting that the King of Kings would come to earth as a human and proceed to lean on the strengths of the people that surrounded him. Did you ever notice that Jesus actually did lean on into the strengths of the people around him? He told his disciples that they were his friends, and he told them, you guys stood by me in my trials. And if you really read the Gospels, you'll see, like, they failed a lot, right? But Jesus was grateful for them, even knowing that his friends could not give him everything that he needed. And that's something that we have to learn. We've got a church of, I don't know, 600 people, you know, that, and you're not going to get everything you need, even if all 600 people gave you something. We get it from Jesus. And we have to recognize we can't put so much pressure on our friends to fill the voids in our hearts. We have to let Jesus fill those voids. Jesus knew that he could only find true fulfillment from the Father, and yet he gave credit to his disciples. They stayed with him some of the time, and he was grateful. Jesus very easily could have said, guys, you're just not cutting this. I'm going to do it myself. You couldn't even stay with me and pray? Just go away. He did not do that. He wanted them by his side. He knew the value of people. You see, insecurity points to self. You know, I did this. I accomplished that. And it's always, always to be noticed by people. It's pride. Security gives credit to others and glory to God. And that's called humility. Jesus was so secure and confident because of his relationship with the Father that he even gave credit to failure. Jesus saw beyond failure. Even before Peter denied Jesus, Jesus already forgave him. Jesus had a treasurer who was actually a thief, you know, and Jesus still gave credit there, let him do his job, and he still highly valued his people that surrounded him. I don't know about you, but I feel like a failure a lot, you know, and over my life, when I look back, I try not to too much, but, you know, I look back and I'm like, oh, you know, and the one day I was journaling, I've shared this before, but I was journaling one day and I was just about to grab the pen and write down all the things that I had failed at. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, don't write down what you're not, write down what you are. And I want to encourage you, write down what you are. What things have you stored in that box that you are now believing about yourself? And what are you saying to others? What are you speaking to your children, to your spouse, to the people that surround you? You know, what are you filling their boxes with? Are you filling it with encouragement or something else? You know, fill it with good and positive things, but remind the people around you to get their approval from Jesus. We have to give grace to one another. You know, when somebody makes a mistake, we can't carry that and hold that, you know, and having these little boxes for every single person, you know, storing all the bad things they ever did. You know, we got to give people grace. Dump it out. You would want yours dumped out, right? Give people grace. Forgive and dismiss. Accept or reject. If you are storing up words that have been spoken to you, I want you to take some inventory. I want you to write them down. You know, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, I want you to sit down. Anything that comes to your mind or heart that you've been carrying that maybe somebody said about you or did to you, I want you to write it down. And then I want you to say, Lord, is there value in what was said? Is there some truth in it? If there is, help me take that and help me dismiss the rest. And then we're going to forgive it even write with a red marker, forgive, and then dismiss it. Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do that. And I'm going to give you this is something that I use. If it's not love, it's not God. If somebody says something to you and it doesn't come from a heart of love, then it doesn't come from God's heart. You can dismiss that immediately because God is love, right? Is it something, you know, think about it. Is the thing that somebody's saying to you, does it have some truth to it? Even if it's not coming from a heart of love, take it to God and say, Lord, this person, I don't know if they really love me, but they said this. Is there truth in this? And he will help you to find that. So forgive and dismiss. Accept or reject. You get to choose to accept or reject the things that people try to put on you. I know that can be easier said than done, but releasing or hanging on is our choice. We are the ones, we hold the key to our confidence and security. You know, Cliff would always say to me when I was feeling down, he'd say, just focus on the people that love you. Focus on the people that love you. Don't think about the people that don't like you, because guess what? Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to love us. But Jesus loves us. He cares for us deeply. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man is like getting in the box with all this stuff and being stuck in a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. People are not firm foundations upon which to build our lives or our self-worth. Opinions don't hold much water, but truth does. Sometimes the truth hurts, but it has to come from a heart of love. When people we trust speak something to us and it lines up with the word of God, that's what we say, okay, Lord, get this in my heart, get this in my mind, change me, right? Security is humble confidence, not being full of ourselves, but being filled with God. We are refined with fire, and that fire is used to burn away all the junk. You know, if you're stuck in that box, say, Lord, just refine me with fire. He'll burn away all the junk, all the garbage you've been believing, and refine it and make you into his image. Satan will attempt to use the people closest to us to steal our confidence. But God will use the people closest to us to refine us and mold us into his image. It's the approval of God that we're after. It's the approval of God that we're after. Jesus told us to love others, but we can't build our house on them, right? Galatians 1:10 says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We follow Jesus, and hopefully people follow him too, right? We can't build our house upon people. It would be like trying to build a house on this box. If you tried to put a foundation on this box to build a house upon, it would crumble, right? We build our house on the firm, solid foundation that does not move. Jesus, God is not a shifting shadow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is that firm, solid rock upon which we stand. And it was for freedom that Jesus came, not to be slaves and prisoners and confined to a box of insecurity, but secure in him and who he is, secure in who God made you to be. We have to get out of the box that we've allowed the enemy to lead us to. And he will always lead us down that path unless we interject those thoughts with God's word. We have to apply God's truth and God's word and let him define and refine us. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the direction. I am the truth. You can trust me. And I am the life. Everything you need for all eternity is found in me. True security is found in him. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. When we invite Jesus to come into our lives, we become his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about Hebrews 11. And verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So why is it impossible to please God without faith? If we don't have faith, we are telling God that we don't believe that he is, and we don't believe what he says, right? That we don't trust what he says. Belief is our response to the words of someone we respect. Think about if there's a person in your life and you really truly respect them, when they say something, you believe them. If they speak something into your life, you trust it, you believe it. And if we don't have faith in God, we're saying we don't respect him and we don't respect his authority and what he's saying to be true. Imagine how frustrating it must be to be God. to continually be pouring into his people, telling them us how much he loves us, and yet people still don't believe him. You know, but yet he's given us free will to choose. So here is the main point today. Confidence and security are built upon the conviction that Jesus is everything he says he is, and thereby we believe that we are everything he says we are. I'm going to read that one more time. Confidence and security are built upon the conviction that Jesus is everything he says he is, and thereby we believe that we are everything he says we are. When I asked Bella what she believed about herself, and she said, I'm nice, I'm confident, I'm cute, right? She then added, but you know better, Mom. But you know better, Mom. Oh, that we would reach out to God and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, you know better who I am. You tell me who I am. How magnificent that God speaks to us in that way. Psalm 139, 17 to 18 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Do you want your children to believe when you tell them that you're proud of them, that they matter? Do you have a friend, maybe a female friend, who you just wish she would know and understand how beautiful she is and how much God has gifted her and the value that is in her? Do you have a guy in your life that you just wish he could understand his value, that he could see just that he can be a man of God, that he's got an inner strength that has yet to be uncovered because he's, you know, drowning in insecurity? Do you feel less than valued? Do you feel like you're drowning in insecurity? We're going to do a song right now, and I want you to stick around for this. Don't turn off. We're not done yet. I think this is going to be really powerful for you, and I hope you're encouraged.
Fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
What does the Lord say? What does he say of you? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I am confident. Because of Jesus, I'm a new creation. I've been adopted into his family. I'm alive with Christ. I am the apple of his eye. I belong to Christ. He bought me. My debt is paid in full. I am called beloved. I am called in Christ Jesus. I am a child of promise. I am a child of God. I am chosen of God, a citizen of heaven, clay in the potter's hand, established in Christ and anointed. I am part of the body of Christ. I am part of the family of God, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a friend of Jesus, and I am his disciple. I am one of his people, his workmanship. I am justified, loved, more than a conqueror, a partaker of the divine nature. I am part of a royal priesthood, redeemed, the righteousness of God, a saint, the salt of the earth, a city on a hill, his son, his daughter. I am a temple of God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not my own. Because of Jesus, I am secure and I have a good future. Because of Jesus, I am his and he is mine. Amen. Service, when you turn off your computer, where do you go from here? Right? John 8:31 says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is no substitute for your relationship with God. No other human on this planet can fill the void that only Jesus can fill. We tried, right? We try to go to people all the time for approval and acceptance. But there is no substitute for your relationship with God. And it goes farther than just prayer. You could start that way, but you have to go into his word. If you are not spending time in God's word, you are not going to be truly happy and truly fulfilled. It is vital. It's just like eating food every day. You need the word of God to fill you and to give truth to you so that when you hear a lie, you recognize it. When you hear something that God doesn't say about you, that you'll know, nope, God doesn't say that about me. Dismissed. Rejected. Right? But if it's something God says about you and you hear it, like he loves you, that you're called, you're anointed, that you're part of the body of Christ and you matter, that lines up with God's word and that is truth to your soul and to your body. And you will begin to feel better all over because Jesus will fill you up. So on what or whom will you base your confidence? What's your decision today? Let's just take a moment. Everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes at home. I know the kids are probably running around, but kids, if you can, come in. Kids, do you want Jesus to be in your life better than a superhero, better than a Disney princess, better than anything you can imagine? You want to give your heart to him today? Let's just pray. Repeat after me if you can. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my security. You are my confidence. You are my security. You are my firm foundation. Let me not base my life or my security or my confidence or my self-esteem upon the opinions of others, but upon what you say about me, because your word is truth. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Lord, change me. Help me to see myself the way that you see me. Help me to believe you. Help me to believe you, because you think good of me. In Jesus' name, amen.